you'll have a chance to win a large Pizza Hut pizza, or maybe pizza, one large Pizza Hut pizza every month for a year, because that'll be the drawing at the end of the day from among all our supporters. End of the day, meaning before one today, because that'll be with Michelle, who a week ago went 5 for 5 on Monday. So you never know. So 396-1670, that's the easiest way to get involved with that. Jason Cairns, good morning.
Good morning.
Best 5 minutes of the day here. A little bit of snow to greet you on this last day of March.
It is. I saw it coming down last night, wondered if it would still be there this morning. Mm-hmm. My wife actually sent me pictures that she saw from Crivets, you know, with an inch of ice on the trees, which is where my dad lives. So I'd rather have this than that. So.
Yeah, I think further north there were those concerns that it looks like another 2 to 4 inches in the snow, in the forecast Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. So.
Yeah. We should be beyond this. I mean, we're almost into April.
Yeah, it's Wisconsin, you know. It happens. Yep. You know, I'm just glad. I mean, you know, you get 6, 8, 10, 12 inches. That really, you know, we can handle this. So.
Yeah, growing up, it was always March comes in like a lion and out like a lamb. And it sure does not feel like lambish weather to me right now.
Yeah, right. All right, well, we'll see how that all pans out. All right, it is a Monday. Pizza Hut pizza. If you could order a Pizza Hut pizza with anything on it, what would you get?
Meat lovers. I mean, that used to be my every time after football games. When I lived in Newburgh, we'd go to Pizza Hut after the game and order meat lovers pizza. I mean,
nice.
And then, of course, my favorite movie, Tommy Boy, mentions we still have that meat lovers pizza in the trunk. So, you know, that's the way to go for me.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
As long as it doesn't have pineapple, we're good.
You know, one thing that we share in common is we both have our names on Larry Crabb's book, A Different Kind of Happiness.
Yes.
How did that happen?
True. Well, so, you know, I think I think our relationship with Larry, he had reached out and asked us to put if we would be willing to endorse this book for him. I think partly that came through School for Spiritual Direction, which we did. And, you know, we were doing, around that time, we were doing the Crabb Conversations.
Yeah.
And so he was looking for people to endorse the book, and we got in on that. So
yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, I don't know, you're a doctor, you're a neuropsychologist. I mean, I'm a radio broadcaster, but I appreciated his willingness. So that was pretty cool to have a chance to do that. It was a 2016 book. And, again, people can learn more about your summary of all of his books in your book, Living in the Larger Story, that they could order off Amazon. But there's 7 questions. He had long talked about his 7 questions. And finally, in this book, he wrote about them.
Yeah. So he calls them the 7 questions of spiritual theology. And I had written these questions distill much of his progression of his thinking over several decades. And the questions are, 1, who is God? 2, what is God up to? 3, who are we? 4, what's gone wrong? 5, what has God done about our problems? 6, how is the Spirit working to implement the divine solution to our human problem? And 7, how can we cooperate with the Spirit's work?
Hmm.
And I mean, it goes into more detail about what those things mean. And, you know, it has to do with salvation and pneumatology or spirit, what the Spirit is up to. You know, I had always been very much drawn to those 7 questions. So to see them come out in book form was great.
I think that they're deep enough to, I think in the past we've talked about, we've done kind of this run through, but I'm feeling compelled to maybe go deeper here in subsequent days on each of those, because it's just too good, it's too rich to just rush over.
Sure.
And after breakfast on Saturday, I did go get, I found a bookshelf that I was able to bring home for $25, and my wife was even like, you got a good deal.
Sure.
And so it's now in the living room. So I brought all my Larry Crabb books from her basement office up into the living room because, as John Ortberg said, he's like, I like being around my books. So,
I mean, absolutely. Yeah, to be around those is definitely one of the great joys in life.
Yeah. So we'll go a little bit deeper on that.
Okay.
And look forward to talking to you again tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. Talk
all right.
to you then.
Our buddy Jason Cairns here on WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show. Well, it's a huge treat on opening day for the Brewers to have Josh Maurer from the Brewers radio team with us on the phone. Josh, thanks for waiting. Good morning.
Hey, Mark, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me this morning. What an exciting day here.
Well, absolutely. And listening to you on the call a lot over the weekend, kind of a rough one there for the Brewers, and all the talk, the buzz is about the torpedo bats of the Yankees.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know anything about torpedo bats until I got to the ballpark on Saturday. And all of a sudden, everybody's talking about, hey, some of these Yankees are using new bats. But here's what I know about them. They're apparently deemed legal by Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They're apparently available for truly any player in the league on any one of the 30 teams to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these Yankees have. And I don't know, it might have been a handful or less that were actually using them this weekend. Now, I know some of them, like Anthony Volpe, hit multiple home runs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this might be much ado about nothing. And I would assume that if there was really any kind of concern about the legality or the even morality of using those bats, that the Brewers would have made more of a stink. But they didn't seem to have much of an issue with it. It's my understanding that whoever it is that's manufacturing these torpedo bats, they've been marketing them to all major league players, and it's just some of the Yankees that had been the ones to decide to use them. Now, it's a copycat sport, so if it looks like there's a lot more home run hitting in those kind of bats, then you'll see other players use them. But I think for the moment, I really don't know that there's much of a there.
Yeah, it is early in the season, and the Brewers pitching staff, it sounds like, not 100% right now. So.
No, they're not, and that's kind of a shame. You come out of spring training, you'd like to be healthy, and they're anything but healthy with the guys that are on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, yeah. It's hard. It's hard to compete at Yankee Stadium against that lineup without some of your top pitchers available. And I don't want to make excuses. Look, the Brewers didn't pitch the way that they would have wanted to, but the Yankees were red hot. I mean, sometimes you just run into a buzzsaw, and it kind of felt like that was the case this weekend at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great that the team gets to come home, play in their own environment in front of their own fans.
Yeah.
At a ballpark that's not as home run friendly, let's say, especially down the right field line. My goodness, what a short porch they have there at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So I think this will feel a lot better today for the Brewers to be in their own environment.
And that's the big thing as we wind down here, Josh, is for the Brewers opening day. I heard you guys talking yesterday about what a special day, what an exciting day. Talk about the mood, the atmosphere. Opening day, the Brewers in Kansas City to get things rolling. And you don't have to wonder because you got the retractable roof, so it's going to be a go.
Yep, no problem. I'm actually standing on the warning track down the first base foul line
nice.
Right now as we speak.
Cool.
And it feels very comfortable in here with that roof closed, even though it's just over 30 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this, and this is my fourth year as part of the Brewers broadcast team. I've come to learn how important opening day at American Family Field is for the people of Milwaukee and really across the entire state. I joke about this often, but I mean it. It almost feels like opening day should be a local holiday. People shouldn't have to go to work today.
Yeah.
that's how much it means around here. It's similar to what the vibe is for a playoff game in October. So I'm expecting it to be a really, really raucous crowd. You're welcoming back the two-time reigning NL Central Division champions. And also, on a personal note, this is our first chance publicly here as a fan base to get together to pay tribute to my friend and our patriarch, really, of the organization, and Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
So, and there will be a lot of tributes for Bob here. Definitely. I've got a cart driving right by me now. The ground screw's got to get ready for today too. The fact that we're going to be able to honor Bob here today is going to make this very emotional for all of us, but it's going to make it a lot more special too.
Absolutely. And so we encourage people, if they can't make it for opening day, get down there, enjoy the Brewers. One of my highlights of the year was being there for a 5-4 win over Toronto for my birthday in June. And so looking forward to getting there back as a native Milwaukeean myself. So thanks so much, Josh. We wish you the best today and all season long. Okay.
Great, great, great. Thanks so much for having me, and we're looking forward to getting the home schedule going this afternoon.
Absolutely. Welcome back anytime. There I go, our friend Josh Maurer from American Family Field. How about that? here on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB. All right, WWIB, it is time for our CCM Song Showdown, the second semifinal. Jason Gray, his song advancing him over the Newsboys on Friday, and now the other semifinal to see who scores off with Jason, song versus song, tomorrow on the WIB Wake Up Show. And Deb in Chippewa Falls has been going with Ann Wilson, and today the first song we'll hear is going to be Sunday Sermons. And the second song, Mercy Me, the one seed in our whole tournament of 17 artists this year, Ryan in Fall Creek going with Mercy Me's Even If.
So, two ways to vote, as always, and voting open now through 7:45 a.m. 715-396-1670 to vote by text, 715-396-1670. Get a bonus vote in the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook group that's commenting by commenting on the post that's live right now. As always, we hear from both of the nominators before their song plays. Ann Wilson, Sunday Sermon's going first, so here's Deb from Chippewa Falls.
Hi, my name is Deb, and we picked Ann Wilson as a family, as she has emerged as one of my our family favorite artists. I actually sat down with my older two kids weeks before, and we made our list of songs. I like this song because it reminds me of my Catholic upbringing and sitting in church every Sunday. Even though I am not a practicing Catholic, I am super thankful for those Sundays and the foundation it gave me for my relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get some girl power and vote for Ann Wilson to bring home the crown. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, this is Ryan, and for the final four song, I nominated Mercy Me's Even If. This song is one that I really have always enjoyed from Mercy Me because it speaks so strongly to those points in life where it's just such a struggle, and all the more you really have to hold on to is God, and that no matter what happens, one way or the other, he's your only hope. So just something that was really strong to me personally. So take a listen, then go vote for Mercy Me.
Olivia Lane, talented young female artist here on WWIB, where we are family. Could another very talented young female artist upset the behemoth that is Mercy Me, the number one overall seed in this tournament? And it was Ann Wilson's Sunday Sermons going up against Mercy Me, Even If. Voting is closed, and we do have a winner, and we're not going to make anybody wait for it, Havel, because this determines the championship tomorrow, who faces Jason Gray at 7:15 a.m.
That's right. And so, the winner in our semifinal this morning between Ann Wilson's song, Sunday Sermons, and Mercy Me's Even If is Mercy Me.
Mercy Me wins and moves on. So, Mercy Me against Jason Gray. What a battle that is going to be in the best possible way tomorrow at 7:15 a.m.
Well, it is March 31st, and tomorrow is April 1st. No fooling.
That's what I was going to say.
What April has for us. There are some things coming up in the fourth month of the year.
Yes, indeed.
The NCAA women's basketball Final Four games are going to be on Friday night, April 4th, I believe.
Yeah.
And Saturday, then, is the NCAA men's basketball Final Four games coming up on April 5th in San Antonio.
Also, the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship game is April 6th and the Men's Basketball Championship game April 7th, so one after the other.
Yeah. I don't know what that next event is, and so I'm a little bit...
I think it's a music festival or
something. Music festival like that. In California, in Indio, California, on April 11th, called Coachella.
Easter, of course, is April 20th, so is that as late as Easter can be?
Pretty
it
late.
Seems fairly late.
For yeah, Easter. Maybe it could be April 21st, but it's late. Earth Day is April 22nd.
The Boston Marathon, very famous marathon, is April 21st.
Mm-hmm. And also on April 21st and 22nd, the annual Lyrid meteor shower will peak, offering views of 10 to 15 meteors per hour. Wow.
I had not heard of that before.
Me either.
But it says it's annual, so somehow I just missed that. But I guess. Wow. That sounds really cool.
I've missed that for 60 years, but this year is the one.
This year is the year. And again, things that April has in store for us. And as per tradition, on April 1st tomorrow, we'll plan to let you know on some of the different special events and commemorations and such in April.
And our CCM Song Showdown finale. But today is the last day for Hope and Hope. Five putts for Caleb here on this Monday, the March the 31st. First one prepares himself. First one is going to get in there to the 100 for one for one. Thanks so much to all of our pledgers. It's Somebody's going with a large Pizza Hut pizza and did that drawing for Pizza Hut for a year later today before 1 o'clock on WWIB. Putt number two is in there as well. Preparing for putt number three in our Hope in Holes here on WWIB on a Monday morning. Both in the 100 slot so far. Putt number three is into the 300. Way to go. Three for three. Two more to go. Continuing the same approach that he employed so successfully on Friday. Caleb may leave the show for the PGA. I don't know. Here's putt number four. And it's into the 300. And now his last putt of the year for Hope in Holes, the fifth and final one. Oh, just off. And I know he wanted it. He wanted it. But you had nine in a row from Friday through today, yeah. And we both go 4 for 5 today.
All right. You know what? And again, that's great. Happy with that, too. Again, you're always going to think about the one that didn't quite go in, and moment must have been too big for me.
But, you did great on the other ones.
Yeah. Happy with that.
Yes.
Happy to get the clap. And that does it for the WIB Wake Up Show for Hope in Holes. We'll do a drawing shortly to see who wins that free large pizza from Pizza Hut. And thank you to all the pledgers. And your last chance to pledge for Hope in Holes will be coming up. Again, you can even do it right now, 12:45, with Greg Stewart sitting in the midday slot there. And you know what? It all comes to a head there. Not only will he be doing the drawing for a free large pizza, but also for that pizza for a year, courtesy of Pizza Hut.
Caleb, I just have to say, as your friend and your morning co-host, I got to see you grow and improve as a putter during these last couple weeks. Way to go.
Yeah. I kind of thought, man, if I could just make one or two, and then, it made five the last time,
right.
And then this time, too, it's like, it was almost there, and I really want to get back on that line and see if I can make the fifth one again.